Welcome back to the Marketplace. It is a very, very exciting time because on Monday at 9 a.m. free agency officially opens for the NBL 25 season. We've got a lot to talk about and a very special announcement coming your way in just a few seconds as well. I'm Jack Heverin, the best newsbreaker in Australian basketball, Olgun Ulich. Olgun, great to see you and great that you can get off your phone for 5 minutes and join us. There's a lot going on.
There's a ton going on. I'm really excited. Monday can't come soon enough. We've got the salary cap numbers. We're ready to roll.
You go to Pete Hooley's house at the moment, his walls are just spreadsheets of depth charts and free agency charts and who's available. Hools, there is a lot to talk about on today's show and a lot that's going to happen on Monday.
For sure. It's really exciting. I'm not as busy as Olga, but I'm trying to put all the pieces together and it's kind of like I turned into a bit of a GM where I was like, well, this free agent would look really good next to these players and vice versa. And then I'm sure on Monday when things don't go the way that I anticipated, try and figure it all out and try and piece the puzzle together. But it's a really exciting time.
Lots to talk about today. We will get to the free agency list. In just a moment, we'll talk about the options that haven't been taken ahead of the NBL 25 season. Little explainer on the salary cap and then the names to watch out for on Monday morning. Now, speaking of Monday morning, a first for us here on the Marketplace, from 8:30 a.m. Eastern time, or just check your local guides, it's probably the best way to do it, we will be live on nbl.com.au and all of the NBL's platforms with a live Marketplace at this very desk. Olgun will be here, Hools will be here, Derek Rucker as well, and we're going to break it down as it happens with free agency opening at 9 a.m. This is very cool.
I'm excited for this. We've seen a lot of other sports. There's a lot going on. Again, the deals are going to start to roll around where it fits and so much to break down. We could be here a while on Monday. I'm not opposed to that. I like an early morning rise. As long as there's coffee, as long as there's water, as long as there's nice deals to talk about, I think I've got everything I need.
Yeah, I'm excited to bring the deals to everyone in real time, hear the reactions in real time. So this is going to be something that this league's never done before, but I'm excited that we're sort of venturing into this space.
And there'll be plenty of opportunity for you to pose your questions on social media. Along the way as well, we'll have all of the depth charts. We'll fill the gaps as they land. But Monday from 8:30 a.m. is going to be a jam-packed day. Now, free agents list was dropped earlier this morning. We now have every single available name as we head into NBL 25. You can see some of the names on your screen for the full list of the free agents. Of course, you can go to nbl.com.au. The biggest standout, I think, on this list is Joe Lualuchul Jr. And for Melbourne United fans, no doubt they're going to be very nervous right now because Ariel Hook-Porty looks to test his opportunities with the NBA draft or certainly overseas. Now you've got Joe Lualuchul Jr., who's the highlight name of free agency. Big problems here for Melbourne United.
As the season was coming to an end, we were sort of unsure whether JLA would opt into this player option or not. A few days ago, Melbourne United announced that he wouldn't, and so he'll test his time in the NBA. He'll try to get there. If not, there are overseas options for him, but all of a sudden, United just has a giant hole in the front court, which didn't exist before.
It somewhat, to me, seemed a little inevitable this might happen for JLA, because you look, he's getting a little older, and again, I think he's someone who deserves that legitimate chance in the NBA, and he missed out on summer league with being injured, but just to have around about that opportunity, if it doesn't come, then he can go and cash in a little bit overseas and know that he's going to walk into a very nice NBL gig whenever. We know he came back to the NBL to enhance his chances to go to the NBA, which is what the NBL is great for. But now it's kind of those two options, right? As he gets older in his career, okay, I'm giving everything I can to get this chance in the NBA. If that doesn't eventuate, I'm going to get a massive payday, maybe in China or in Japan for a little bit, and then see what happens from there. So it does make a big hole, especially with no Ariel Hook-Porty, but it does also open up a significant salary cap for them to be able to go and chase something as well.
So are we thinking that there's not a world where Joe Lualuchul Jr. plays for another NBL team in the upcoming season?
I don't envision it. Firstly because of his ambitions and what he wants to go and achieve. And if he doesn't achieve that, then there is a ton of money elsewhere. There also just aren't many spots available. Mm. The only real big man spot I see is Southeast Melbourne. And I don't see that as a team that he would really slot into. And so I really don't see him back in the NBL next year unless something can miraculously happen and a renegotiation happens with Melbourne United.
I wonder if DJ Hogue falls into a different category though. Didn't have a great season with the Sydney Kings, was injured in the lead up, was injured during the season as well. I'm sure that he would look back on this campaign with Sydney and be disappointed with how it went. Do we think that DJ Hogue's got a home in the league next season?
Potentially. And so firstly, I think a lot of people in Sydney are sort of just trying to forget what happened this past season. DJ Hogue individually, of course, as well. He had shoulder injuries that really hampered him. Mm. He is someone who costs a lot of money. It would be very difficult for an NBL team to pay up for him. Now, there are teams around the league who are interested in his services. However, it would be very tough for me to see him sticking here because he's currently in China earning a lot of money, and there is a ton of money out there for him beyond this season too.
Yeah, I've heard a couple of teams, again, with that interest of why wouldn't you? We saw he's an All-NBL caliber player. It's very similar to, I mean, we'll talk about Will McDowell-White soon. We're going to talk about him a lot, but when you're hampered with injuries throughout the season, you don't play your best. It's kind of an asterisk year. You can kind of forget that because you know what you're going to get when he's fully healthy, which is why the price tag is still high. I'd love to see him back in the league and get another clean slate at it with a bill of health and really go after it. But again, with the way things are going overseas for him, it might be hard to come back.
I guess part of the free agents list as well that was published is that there are a lot of star imports available right now that at this stage haven't re-signed with their teams. Gary Clark in Illawarra and Jordan Crawford in Tasmania were the two that really jumped off the page to me.
So on Gary Clark, he's another guy who's very expensive. The Hawks would love to keep him. And so I wouldn't completely rule that out. The Jordan Crawford one is interesting because we have Will McDowell-White floating in the ether as his free agent that a lot of teams are seeking. And if Tassie is able to land him, then there's obviously no space for a Jordan Crawford. If they're not able to get Will McDowell-White, then Jordan Crawford, their Game 5 hero, is all of a sudden probably priority number one for them.
And it makes it interesting, right, if on Jordan Crawford's side, because then you're thinking, am I second fiddle here?
You'd have to be thinking that.
And again, but that's just part of the business. And he's been around, he's played at a high level, he would understand what's going on. And again, having that impact local point guard makes it probably a little harder to understand, I guess. But it's also more compelling, I guess, for Tasmania to have that local and then go and maybe spend some money elsewhere. But again, we were here last year. It's kind of that domino of Will McDowell-White, where that falls, and that's going to be one to watch.
Well, you know where all the gaps are. There'll be other GMs watching this Jordan Crawford situation in the league, surely. Could you see him landing in another team next season?
I think so. Again, we get caught up. Recency bias probably helps him in game five, but so much of the headlines around the postseason was that he struggled. Mm. Certain teams like to post him up at times, and he really struggled in that. Really struggled to score the ball, but we know he had a fantastic season. And again, if we just forget the first bit of the postseason leading up to the Game 5 heroics, he was outstanding. And what a pickup he was. And there are some teams that could really benefit from those kind of scoring punch and those services going forward. How that fits alongside another, I guess, starting lineup is an interesting one. But no doubt other teams will be thinking about that if they don't manage to bring him back.
Teams are always looking for bigs as well. No doubt in this league, if you're a big guy, it's always an advantage. Mango Matiang is on the free agents list. Gorjok Gak is another one who's on the free agents list. Do we see an opportunity for them somewhere?
Those are two guys who I can imagine being signed a little bit later in the piece. There's almost like there's a segment of players who will get signed very early in the piece. They're probably regarded as your impact players, your third to eighth guy. And then beyond that, there are players who may fill out rosters in the back end. I see those two guys, Mango Matiang and Gorjok Gak, in that sort of area.
And it's not so much just about, I guess, the salary figure, right, when you talk about like the dominoes falling and then picking up. It's also what role they play in that regard. And that's exactly right. Then, okay, we've got really our eight or nine set rotation. If someone goes down during the season, would one of those pieces be able to step in and then play potentially maybe 0 to 7 minutes, like, can we increase that to 15 and 20 and be in a really good spot? And that's where they fill that out.
The other name which has been garnering a little bit of interest and certainly some rumours is Tajir McCall. There'll be no situation where Tajir returns to play for Cairns next season. I think that's pretty obvious. The 36ers have been the team that have been most likely linked to him.
I don't really see that. I don't know if I like the fit necessarily. Yeah. We're going to see a lot of this. Players who are imports who are in the league this past season who may be linked to certain teams because it is nice to retain imports. But I think the assumption should always be that an import's more than likely not returning.
Yeah.
And I would probably put Tajir McCall in that sort of box.
And from a Cairns perspective, I know we talk about the fallout and everything, but this is kind of what happened with their smaller spend team than everybody else. It allows them to spend a bit more money. And instead of maybe having that Tajir McCall high salary but big impact guy, and then they went and spent a lot less on a Josh Roberts and didn't get a whole lot out of that signing, they can kind of break that into two and kind of spend maybe similar or a little bit either side and go and get two impact imports and be able to move forward in NBL 20.
So that list is available at nbl.com.au. You can check that out now. We also learnt yesterday of the options that were taken and not taken. They had to be lodged by midday yesterday. I think it's worth starting with the Perth Wildcats here, Olgan and Halls, and just trying to work through their situation. Firstly, picking up Ty Webster, but not picking up Corey Webster.
Yeah, we had flagged this coming into it, that the feeling was that they'd pick up Ty and not pick up Corey. what this does is this effectively locks in their let's say their top seven or eight guys, right? Ty Webster was part of that. They now just have an import spot to fill. The Corey Webster one was sort of interesting because he had a really good season the season prior.
Yeah.
There was a team option on the back of it. He really didn't pop off this past season, so it made sense for them to get off that contract, which was a decent amount of money. So he's off the books. But one thing I wanted to run by you, Hools, which is the sort of surprise here, is Dante Russo-Nance, who he was supposed to go into a roster spot this season. Instead, he is listed as a DP on this free agent list, which means that there's been a renegotiation of some sort. And so all of a sudden, we thought Corey Webster comes out, Jesse Wagstaff re-signed, so he goes into that spot. Michael Harris goes up into a roster spot, and now there's an open roster spot now. We thought that there wasn't going to be any. With Russo-Nance not going, being elevated into that roster spot, there is all of a sudden an opening for the Wildcats to go and chase somebody.
It's super interesting. We don't see this too often, if at all, to be honest. A lot of people we saw when we did the last Marketplace asking questions. And when you talk about a renegotiation, when it comes to the option side of things, if both parties decline but have a likelihood that they want to move forward, right? But say, hey, we want to reward you. You've kind of got a team option for NBL 25. We'd like to keep you here longer than that. So if we both decline or a team option is declined and we lock you in for two more years plus one or whatever that looks like, and we'll get into a couple more. This doesn't happen too often where they would have had a conversation with him and said, look, you're still going to be part of this. Let's renegotiate. And maybe it's the following year and after that. It is one that when it popped up and I saw your article and I was reading it, it did take me by surprise because normally when those DP years that get elevated, that's just the way it happens. It just flows really naturally as part of the salary. And it also means with the Ty Webster is... You would immediately think if you're the Red Army, then okay, we're no shot to get Will McDowell-White, but that might not be the case, that they now have an opening where they could potentially go after him.
From what I understand, even with Ty Webster, that option being picked up, there is still some level of interest in Will McDowell-White. Now, that would, of course, cost the Perth Wildcats a lot of money.
An obscene
amount of money. But I'm told that interest in McDowell-White hasn't necessarily wavered, and so there is still the potential for that to happen. From what I understand, the McDowell-White sweepstakes, which we will go into, is still sort of wide open. Mm. But I wouldn't completely rule them out purely because of that Webster option. The Wildcats are still in the mix.
Here's a look at some of the other names that options weren't taken during this period that had to be lodged yesterday as well. Chris Smith at the Brisbane Bullets. We learnt about that one via your tweets, Olgan. I don't think that comes as a big surprise, does it?
Not really. There's a sense that they want to have an upgrade in that position. And Chris Smith, there were times where he was almost unplayable, right? We saw moments. He had a huge game winner in Brisbane. And there were times where he really popped off. He had a few game winners, actually. But we got a sense that they probably wanted to move on from him, probably improve in that position. They will look to fill that spot with a similar type of player, like another shooting wing. But Chris Smith was someone who it wasn't completely surprising that they moved off of him.
I guess what's surprising for that whole thing is when you bring in a new import, right, who hasn't played in the NBL, doesn't understand it.
Two-year deals,
yeah. They're interesting. Yep. They're very rare to happen for... You don't know how they're going to adjust. We've seen those fringe NBA players come in, and I guess not some have struggled, but we've seen some not live up to the hype necessarily. I thought Tyler Johnson was one that we'd see again. He was terrific, but a lot of people... NBA fans who say, well, he's going to win the MVP, but it just doesn't translate necessarily to that high-level impact, which is why when you saw a two-year deal, you're like, well, that's an interesting one because you don't know how they're going to adjust, and it doesn't surprise me that they're just going to try and head in a different direction with a lot of other moves that are happening around the Bullets.
Jonah Antonio was on that list from the Taipans, but the understanding is that that's essentially a mechanism to help renegotiate?
Yeah, so that option was declined by the team. And I'm told that he will then enter negotiations with the Taipans, and it would surprise me in a significant way if a deal doesn't get done there. I expect him to be back in Cairns.
Oh, I've been told the same thing. They really want to bring him back, but again, what we spoke about is it looks like they've declined the option, but what it is they're not declining it without telling him. You go to him and say, hey, we want to restructure this. We want to get you on another deal, and normally that's a positive thing. That is a positive thing. You want to be kept for longer, and whatever that looks like salary-wise, we'll find out, but they do have interest to bring him back.
So there are the options. The salary cap for NBL 25. We saw some of the comments and we saw your feedback from our last episode here on the Marketplace. There is an interest to try and understand the numbers at play here and how the process works. We're going to give you a real top line analysis of it right now. The numbers are on your screen. You can see it for NBL 25. They were announced earlier in the week. 7% increase on last season. That salary floor is about 1.75. Salary cap is about 1.9.
So basically, to put it very simply, teams will have to pay up to that salary cap number. If they go over that number, then they have to pay a tax. There is a tax bill that they would have to pay. Now, there are thresholds beyond that. We don't have to go into that today. The salary floor is the number in which teams have to get to. So you have to pay at least that amount of money, which is that $1.7-ish million number. And then you have those marquee numbers, which there's a nuance to them, but they're relatively simple. You can pay a local player a certain amount of money, but on the cap, they would only count toward that marquee number, yep. assuming you've designated that spot to them. So, for example, if Jock Landale a few years ago made $1 million, that's how much you would spend for him. But on the cap, you could theoretically assign him as your first marquee, and the cap hit for Jock Landale will be roughly $233,000. That's if you do that this season. So that's the sort of marquee rule. That's like the general cap overview.
And again, that's why teams, they're so smart about the way they do it. And it's great for the league. It might seem like it's complicated at times. It's really not. It can be very simple. But it helps push the league forward because it means you can go and spend the money that might be offered elsewhere, but still stay under the cap. You're not going to hurt the team by going over the cap and having to pay any tax. And every team's aware of it, and that's why they do it such in a unique way. To take advantage of the system, which is there, it is there to be taken advantage yep. of. It's not a secret. Everyone has the opportunity to do it, and it's good for the league.
And we've got to think that the two teams that are in the championship series, Tasmania Jack Jumpers and Melbourne United, they both would have utilized the marquee rule really, really well. And you can tell that because the bulk of their high-level players were local players. And so from Will Magnay to Jack McVay to Joe Lualatul Jr. to Matthew Dellavedova and Chris Golding, these are all marqueeable guys. And so your team spend might be a lot, but the cap spend would be less, and so then you're paying a lower tax bill.
So we turn our attention to Monday, of course. A reminder, from 8:30 a.m. on the NBL website, we will be live on all of the NBL platforms as well. You can watch a live marketplace edition. Derek Rucker will join us, and we'll work our way through the morning. A lot of names to watch. Let's start with Bull Quall, because I get the sense that something's going to happen pretty quickly here. There's been a lot of discussion around him at the moment. Last episode on the marketplace, we spoke about his desire to go somewhere else. That's clearly going to happen now, and Sydney seem to be the red-hot favourites.
They're the front-runners for Bull Quall, and when we speak about the fact that it'll happen quickly, it's because he informed the Taipans that he would not be returning, and teams sought permission to speak with Bull Quall. And so this wasn't a breaking of the free agency rules or anything like that. Teams were permitted to speak with Bull Quall. And so that's a deal that I think will happen quickly. And I said this on Overtime a few weeks ago. I think this is the swing guy. Because if you don't get Bull Quall, you have to adjust what you're doing roster-wise in a really unique way. Whereas we speak about McDowell White. If you get McDowell White, you get McDowell White. If you don't get him, then you're just replacing that spot with an import point guard. So that seems like an easier swap than trying to replace you're trying to get after Bull Quall. And what else can you get beyond that? There's not much out there.
And we spoke about some other teams that were after him and want to get his services because, again, that impact, especially defensively in this league, is really hard to find. We know we talk about fouls, we get into everything that he's delivered, but I think that he's getting better and more understanding and becoming a veteran in the league now, and that's why he can be hot property, and it'll be exciting to see what happens.
And so I always think about who do you compare this guy to from a spot, like a position stamp, not from like a style of play, but the kind of player he is. And I think of him as like a DJ Vasiljevic in those Sydney Kings days. I think of like a Shea Illy, who is a starter level player, not necessarily your star, but someone who can play starter minutes for you, be really valuable and help you win a championship potentially.
And weirdly, every team, again, win a championship, you talk about the high level players. Okay, we talk about Chris Golding, we talk about Price Cotton, the likes of that. Every team needs someone that you can assign to that and just set a tone. When you play them, whether it's a series or throughout the regular season, Bull Quall fits that bill. You need to have that person on your roster.
Stay out of foul trouble, Bull. I think that's the big key for wherever he goes next season. As we go to record right now, the Will McDowell White sweepstakes, as you called it earlier, Olgan, there's so much intrigue around it still. There are a number of teams who have made the offers for Will, as you spoke about last time. There are a number of teams who still think they're an enormous chance to land Will McDowell White. What happens Monday? Does something happen Monday with Will?
There's a chance something doesn't happen Monday, but my guess is that we will have an answer by our live show on Monday. That's my guess on the situation. There are a lot of teams involved, from what I understand. There's no front runner at this point. There's no favorite. This is a completely undecided but elite local point guard, and a lot of teams who want his services. And so I'm hopeful we'll have an answer by Monday. I think the likelihood is that we do, But there's also a chance this gets dragged out. So I guess stay tuned.
It's funny that we're sitting here. I was about to say, I think we can be certain that he'll be on the mainland of Australia, but that might not be the case necessarily either. We just don't know.
Don't forget the champions.
Yeah, it might not be the case. Again, what a splash that would be, but I'm looking forward to Monday. And you're going to be ready to roll, I think, on Monday.
I hope so. My goodness. If I'm not, sorry, guys.
I hope Will knows we're live on Monday as well. Will, if you're watching, can you decide so that we've got something for the fans on Monday? Jonah Bolden, in the last 24 hours, he was on the list, obviously, of the free agents, has been linked to a couple of teams in the last week or so, but some reports coming out of New Zealand that potentially they're a front runner for his services.
They're a team that is extremely interested in Jonah Bolden. There was a sense that he might get priced out of the NBL when the Sydney Kings did want to engage in another contract, but that doesn't seem like that's going to happen. And so there are teams around the world who are interested in Jonah Bolden, but the Breakers right now are probably the red-hot favourites.
Yeah, and again, to see how that plays out coming to Monday, just be able to break that down. If that did eventuate, I think I really like that fit when you got a big... I thought he was enormous in his first year back after retiring, to be able to space the floor. Again, now you're trying to look alongside the depth charts along Parker Jackson Cartwright. How do they fit together? I think it could be very good under Modi Mayo if that happens.
I think it could be the making of Jonah Bolden. If he goes to New Zealand and he's coached by Modi Mayor, who just demands excellence from his players at both ends of the floor and is unapologetic about that and will call you out whether you're the star player or the back end of the roster. If this happens, I'm really excited to see what this could do for Jonah Bolden's career.
I think the interesting thing is we've seen how potent Jonah Bolden can be, especially on the offensive end. Him alongside someone like Parker Jackson Cartwright, who is among the best offensive players we saw last season, and someone who gets 2 feet in the paint every single possession. The ability to widen a floor for someone like Parker Jackson Cartwright, to stretch that floor for him to operate, and there's probably going to be, if that's where Jonah Bolden lands, he's going to get a ton of open looks, and if he doesn't, Parker Jackson Cartwright is going to have a ton of space to operate.
Yep. And that's, again, then you're thinking, okay, you brought other pieces, more shooters around. You can potentially have 5 shooters on the floor, and that always leads to some success.
Which was something the Breakers struggled with this past season. Isaiah Liafa won't be there for the New Zealand Breakers. He's decided to explore other options at this stage. An appealing and interesting guy, I would imagine, to a lot of teams for some of the same reasons we were talking about with Bull Qual. Certainly not suggesting he's the same caliber of player, but plays really great D, shoots the ball pretty well as a rule. Quite a coachable guy as well.
A similar skill set to Bull Qual when you talk about a 3-and-D guy, someone who when you speak around to guys around the league, they'll tell you that Isaiah Liafa is one of the best perimeter defenders. Mm-hmm. As far as point of attack perimeter defenders, he's one of the best in the league. So he can bring that to the floor, and then obviously he can shoot the ball too. A mid 30% shooter this past season. And so he is someone who maybe not the same level as a Bull Qual as far as the sort of money that he can attract, but he still has a ton of value nonetheless around this league.
And he kind of took the same trajectory as Bull Qual in terms of, I'm going to come in and get my minutes and make my impact defensively. Then I'm going to start to unlock my offensive game and show that I can do that. And whether that is, I mean, you might have times where you're starting, but a real high impact off the bench potentially as well to come in and really make, you can play starters minutes, but lock down, knock down some shots. If people go out, you know you can play 35 plus minutes as well. That makes him a hot commodity.
And this one surprised me too. I thought Isaiah Liafa would return to New Zealand. That was where things seemed like they were headed, but he informed them that he wouldn't be returning. And so he becomes probably one of the most impact guys.
Do you think that he would have been under the assumption that Will McDowell was going to opt in, and then that might have, now he looks at Will opting out as like, maybe there was more of an opportunity there, or do you think that?
Or does Jackson Cartwright opting back in, does that impact the decision?
I don't want to ruin the party here, but I think everything is mutually exclusive here.
Right, okay.
Everything is exclusive.
Okay.
Yeah. All these decisions, I believe, were independent of one another, which includes Liafa not returning to New Zealand and the signing of Parker Jackson Cartwright. I also don't think the signing of Jackson Cartwright had an effect on McDowell White informing the Breakers that he wouldn't be returning.
See, there's a school of thought that's had an impact on Will.
Yeah.
I don't think that's not necessarily the case. I think that McDowell White would have been completely happy playing with Parker Jackson Cartwright again.
They got off to a slow start with injuries and stuff. So I'm with you. It's easy to kind of put two and two together and think, well, that's clearly why. I don't think that is. I think they could have really worked well together and made an unbelievable combo going forward. There's clearly more to that.
What I do think is the New Zealand Breakers leaning into Parker Jackson Cartwright so early makes me think that they probably knew that McDowell White might not return.
Right.
They knew that, okay, this is our point guard, this is our lead guard, this is someone who we're going to put the ball in the hands of, we're going to build around him. there was maybe a sense from within that they knew that McDowell White wouldn't return.
A lot of other names that we're going to take a really good look at on Monday, obviously, as things land from 9 a.m. Mitch McCarron features on that list. Jonah Bolden we spoke about as well. Nathan Sobey and Angus Glover. But one before we finish up, I just want to flag again with you, Olgan, because it was your story from the start, is Deng Adel. You put him on the radar and said that there were teams taking a look at him returning to the NBL.
Yeah, and the Brisbane Bullets are the team who entered advanced talks really early with Deng Adel, and that is a signing that I believe will get done very quickly when free agency begins. The Bullets have been searching for sort of a backup four. They had DJ Mitchell there the past few seasons. They were looking to fill that spot. When you look at who's around the league, I think Kyron Galloway is probably going to do his stuff elsewhere. Majuk Deng re-signed in Tasmania, and so there are teams out there looking for backup fours, guys who can come on the floor, have some size, can really stretch it. Deng Adel is probably more of like a two-three, but I think there's some confidence that Deng Adel and Casey Prather, who's also returning, both parties opted into their mutual option, they can play some minutes at the four, so that front court isn't as thin as perhaps it looks. That's the Bullets thinking.
And I think there'd be a different level of pressure on Deng Adel personally when he came in, because we know he came into the Hawks and he had his struggles, and everyone was thinking, well, this is an NBA caliber player, where he can come in now and it'll be a completely different role, and he can kind of let loose. And having played against him and seen him and the way he's grown since, I've watched some of his stuff he's been playing overseas, and I think that there's a chance to have a really big impact in NBL 25.
It all starts Monday, 9 a.m. Free agency opens. We will be on air via nbl.com.au and all of the NBL's platforms from 8:30 a.m. We'll preview everything that's coming up. We'll have the countdown clock going, and then we are open for business from 9 a.m. You go and get some sleep, because you're going to be a very, very busy boy on Monday.
Thank you. I'm excited. I'm excited to have my little spot in the corner to do my work, so I'm really excited for it.
Just make sure the Wi-Fi doesn't crash. Halls, you also have a lot of work to do ahead of Monday. There's some depth charts that need some serious filling.
Looking forward to it. Cannot wait. I'll be a few coffees deep during the live show, and we might go all day.
We could.
Yeah.
Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday at 8:30 a.m. for The Marketplace Live.